Jesus said in the testimony of a moment of complete reconciliation that he brought up. And she stayed in St. Elizabeth for 3 months. An alliance was supplied between heaven and earth, since the old one was a limited agreement of servitude between God and his chosen people. Thanks to our lady, far better than the old Adam, she hides in her womb a new Adam, who is the firstborn of the great family of the sons of God. We see this in the reaction of St. Elizabeth and St. John the Baptist to the visitation by Mary. As soon as the Blessed Mother greeted her cousin, St. John was filled with the Holy Spirit and left for John. The spiritual commentators do not hesitate to point out that this is the moment that he was cleansed of original sin in his soul. Then follows the words of St. Elizabeth. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Remember, the ark of the old covenant was a symbol of the covenant of reconciliation between God and man. Our Lady carries within her the means of reconciliation under the new covenant, the living testimony of a more true reconciliation. Here are the first moments of the visitation. Our Lord, barely after his conception in the womb of his mother, begins this work of reconciliation of man to God. As soon as Mary appears at the door, Satan is overturned and subjected to utter defeat in the soul of the Baptist. A defeat that is not to be his last. This first picture of Our Lady came about because of a movement of charity in the immaculate and pure soul of the Blessed Mother. As soon as she learned from the archangel that her cousin was her child, she understood that she would need her help and started at once for the house of Zacharias, today at Ayin Karim, across the mountains from Nazareth. As St. Paul tells us, Caritas Christi Urgebus. The charity of Christ presses us. A Christian in a state of perfection will not forget those around him. The Blessed Virgin, full of grace, is at the highest possible state of union with God. We may imagine her lost in an ecstasy of contemplation. But the Gospel for the feast day is explicit. She rose immediately and went to take care of her husband. And Mary, rising up in those days, went into the hill country with haste to into a city of Judah. She made herself available to minister to the body and spiritual needs of her neighbor, despite being in such a condition as she was. Mary, in the exquisite delicacy of her charity, has such a profound sense of the needs of others that as soon as she hears of them, she acts spontaneously and decisively to bring help, to offer her humble services. If we consider the difficulty of traveling in those days, when the poor, such as Our Lady, had to go on foot over difficult roads, when even the best means of transport were extremely difficult, and also the fact that she remained 3 months with St. Elizabeth, we can truly come to understand that she had to face many hardships in performing this act of charity. However, it did not trouble her in the slightest way, since charity pressed her, making her wholly forgetful of herself, and because, as St. Paul tells us, charity does not seek her own. How many times, perhaps, have we omitted an act of kindness, even if only to avoid a little trouble? Think how uncharitable we are and how slow to help others. Look at our Blessed Mother and see how much we can learn from her. Charity makes Mary forget not only her hardships, but also her own dignity, which was far greater than that given to any other creature. St. Elizabeth, we know, is much older than her, but Mary is the mother of God. St. Elizabeth may be about to give birth to a man, but the Blessed Virgin will give birth to the Son. However, she told the angel, "Behold the handmaiden of the Lord." Before her passing through, she sees herself as the humble handmaid of the Lord and nothing more. Precisely because she considers herself a handmaid, she comports herself as such, even in respect to her neighbor. In that case, perhaps, although we know how to humble ourselves before God and recognize a lack of perfection in the secrecy of our heart, it displeases us to appear imperfect before our neighbor, and we quickly resent being treated as such. We are often anxious to have our dignity, education, and ability recognized, as well as the more or less honorable title, duties, and responsibilities which have been entrusted to us. When we look at things from the perspective of eternal life, our dignity is a mere nothing. And yet, we are so jealous of it. The Blessed Mother's dignity approaches the infinite, yet she considers herself and behaves as if she were the least of all creatures. This does not mean to say that external works are superior to prayer, and that contemplation is not the better part of the spiritual life. This can certainly not be said about Our Lady. She being full of grace, adhered to God fully and in her whole being, all through her life, even at this time. The archangel told her that she was full of grace and had received much favor from God in her. Her example here shows that this spiritual perfection made her all the more apt for exterior works. No amount of these words could distract her from the focus of God in the depths of her soul. It is true that many of us are unlikely to attain such perfection in our lives. This certainly was a privilege given to Our Lady. It is indicative of a purification of her entire being, so that she is in perfect union with our Lord. The Blessed Virgin is obviously in such a state of perfection in virtue that there are none of the distractions, rebellions, and disorders that plague our soul. As soon as she receives an inspiration from heaven, she responds to it immediately and joyously without counting the cost. In our case, this battle in our souls has not been won. When we turn to help our neighbor, for even the best of reasons, we find ourselves turning away from God in some way or another. None of our acts, even those with the best of intentions, are free of imperfections. There is no excuse for us to neglect our duties of charity towards each other, or even to neglect our own duties at home or at the workplace. Our Lord made abundantly clear that in our neighbors, we are to see Himself. This should help us understand how blessed is Our Lady, that she does not lose the state of contemplation, even when attending to her duties to those around her. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, famous for his sermons on Our Lady, points out that it is the Blessed Mother's humility that is the secret of such exquisite charity. He explains in paraphrase, "When St. Elizabeth cries in joy, the Blessed Mother makes no protest, but listens with simplicity, knowing well that this praise is not due to her, but solely to the Almighty, who has done great things in her." Immediately, her humble heart spontaneously refers all St. Elizabeth's praises to God. The Magnificat gives us a vivid picture of the attitude of Mary's soul, as she bows in humble confession of her nothingness, touching as it were the depths of her lowliness. Then rising higher in God than she had previously abased herself, she is not afraid to acknowledge and praise the wonderful things He accomplished in her. precisely because she sees perfectly that they are a pure gift on his part. If he is still inclined to vain complacency about our successes, the praise of others, the graces which God has given us, it is because we have not yet touched, as many did, the depths of our loneliness, and we have not gone deeply enough into the consideration